Our next presenter today is Jan Strozer. Jan is from Access Community Health Network in Chicago, and the title of her presentation today is Big Smiles, Expanding Oral Health Care for Infants, Toddlers, and Preschoolers in Chicago. Strozer.
Good morning. I first want to say Ty Smith, our pediatric medical director, unfortunately was not able to be here. And I also want to acknowledge Jenny Fabian, who is our Director of Quality Improvement. Ty, if she were here, would have nothing to disclose. I have nothing to disclose. I will be mentioning application of fluoride varnish, which is actually an off-label use. I will be mentioning that briefly. So our learning objectives today are to talk about oral health care placed in the primary care setting, and then a real-life application of that we did at Access Community Health Network. So the role of non-dental health care providers in improving oral health has really been growing. Former Surgeon General David Satcher stated in 2000, "We must build public-private partnerships to provide opportunities for individuals, communities, and health professionals to work together to maintain and improve the nation's oral health." The ADA have also echoed these sentiments, and the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2003 also echoed similar words. Oops, I went backwards. So as a result of this growing concern about oral health, five groups, as we have see listed here, the Illinois chapter of the AAP, the Illinois Department of Public Health, the Illinois Department of Healthcare and Family Services, the Illinois Society of Pediatric Dentists, and the University of Illinois at Chicago Department of Pediatric Dentistry, joined forces to create the Bright Smiles from Birth curriculum in Illinois. And funding for the project came from the Illinois Department of Public Health, which is funded by HRSA. So the Bright Smiles from Birth curriculum provides comprehensive training on early childhood caries, strategies for preventive care, and office procedures. And this training is geared toward pediatricians and family practice providers and mid-levels in the healthcare setting. So with this thrust behind oral health in kids, we have begun to understand the extent of the problem. Dental caries is the most common chronic disease affecting children in the United States. I was really surprised by these statistics. 5 times more common than asthma, 7 times more common than hay fever. And as you see, research indicates that the prevalence rate of caries increases steadily across the lifespan. Additionally, access to oral health care in Illinois is difficult, as I'm sure it is in many states. In our state, approximately 1.2 million children are enrolled in public aid insurance programs, and a study conducted in 2000 found that only 33% of these children made use of oral health care services. And this factor is complicated by the fact that just 34% of the active general or pediatric dentists in Illinois are enrolled as Medicaid providers. So with that brief background on the Bright Smiles from Birth curriculum, I want to provide you with a practical application of pediatric oral health program in the primary care setting at Access Community Health Network, where I'm from. Access is comprised of 50 health centers throughout Chicago. We are a federally qualified health center and accredited by the Joint Commission. We're quite a large organization. We have approximately 200,000 patients, and about 40,000 of those are under the age of 5. So I want to recognize our partners in this endeavor, as we've talked about the Illinois chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics, and then also our funding partners who we would not have been able to do this program without, the United Way of Metropolitan Chicago and the Chicago Community Trust, and also our trainer and consultant, Dr. Shar Fadavi. The Big Smiles program has allowed us to offer selected oral health services in our pediatric primary care offices. These include a visual oral health screening, a fluoride varnish treatment, family education, and assistance in establishing a dental home. So we often at Access use the PDSA model, Plan, Do, Study, Act. So I'm going to briefly go through that, those phases in the Big Smiles implementation. So we began with our plan stage, which was to develop a strategy for providing oral health services in the primary care setting. Our Do stage was training 5 sites in the Bright Smiles from Birth curriculum with the addition of a mentoring session for our providers with the pediatric dentist. And I'll talk a little bit more in detail about that later. Then we took a look at what we learned from piloting, and these test sites brought out important points in addressing our provider needs, our patient needs, and communication. Based on what we learned in these phases, we enhanced our focus on a few aspects of the program, including educating our patients about the existence of the program, establishing Big Smiles monthly goals for our health center, and increasing communication with health centers, which included monthly meetings either in person or via conference call, electronic updates, and just informal communication. So I've been at Access about 1.5 years, and this was actually the first program I worked on, which was a great way to get me oriented to the organization. And one of the biggest lessons I have learned from this program is that initiatives such as these should really be approached as a partnership with the health centers and the program manager. And when I say health centers, it's important to state that I really am including the managers, the providers, the medical assistants, really everybody who works at the health center. And the partnership is really truly reciprocal. So once the health center decides to participate, we begin a 2-part training. The first part, which we talked about earlier, was the Bright Smiles from Birth curriculum, and that's conducted by a pediatric dentist at our health center. And then at Access, we added a second step to the training, which was unique to our program. And this was a mentoring session where the pediatric dentist comes back to the health center to work with the provider while they're seeing their first few patients, applying the fluoride varnish. And we really found that this clinical mentoring piece has just been critical to our success. It really provides our providers some support, and I think kind of allays their nervousness about dealing with oral health, which isn't something they're not used to. And our trainer has just been wonderful and supportive in doing this piece of the training. So as our health center becomes involved in Big Smiles, we determine a reasonable monthly goal for the number of Big Smiles visits, and these goals are based on the number of pediatric patients seen at the health center, and we really get input from the health center on making sure these goals are reasonable and attainable. To sustain communication and knowledge on the project, each month I give the health center an update on their goals, and this includes the number of Big Smiles visits they had that month, their progress towards their goal, and if they have more than one provider involved, then I break the information out. I also give this information in a graph so they can print it out and display it at the health center and really keep everyone involved and working towards their goal. So this is an example of the data table that I give, and then the 2 graphs that I provide them. So I wanted to take a couple of minutes here to talk about the nuts and bolts of the program. Through the generosity of our funders, our participating health centers are provided with all of the materials and supplies that they need for the program, which is a great way to start things up. And this includes dental supplies, promotional materials, and a list of dentists to refer. I want to talk a little bit about the list of dentists because I think that's really has been an important aspect of the program. Because a lot of these kids, their families are perfectly willing to take their child to the dentist, they just don't know where to go. So what we did was, when we started the program, we made kind of a master list of all the dentists we could find in Chicago and called them, which, thank goodness for interns. So I'm glad I didn't have to do that. So we called them and asked them, do you accept public aid? What age patients do you see? And do you have a sliding scale fee for those who don't have insurance? We kind of put all that information together into a list, and our providers use that to assist their patients in establishing an appropriate dental home. And additionally, we've developed a nice giveaway bag for families. During the appointment, we have education materials that we give to the parents and that are reviewed with the parents, but also the Each child gets a little bag that has a toothbrush and toothpaste, coloring pages, crayons, and of course a sticker, because what kid doesn't like a sticker? And all these materials reinforce our oral health message. Now, of course, this program would not really be that successful if we didn't have any patients coming in. So our health center staff has done just a phenomenal job in promoting this program at every opportunity with our pediatric families. Some strategies we have used are just leaving materials about the program out in health centers and with neighborhood agencies. We've done advertising in neighborhood newspapers. We have appointment cards that kind of advertise the Big Smiles program, and we talk about Big Smiles in our newsletter. So by empowering our families with knowledge about oral health and the Big Smiles program, we are enabling them to seek out services and access complete care for their child. To do this, we have implemented several strategies for communicating with our families. And as we've worked through the program, we also worked out some office procedures to make the program run a little bit more efficiently. We developed a consent form and a progress note specific to Big Smiles. The progress note nicely guides the providers through the oral health history and habits questions and provides a tooth chart to mark off any early childhood caries or other problems. And this is also a nice reference for providers to look back when kids come in for subsequent visits to see if there's been any progress. And our health center's managers have been great in making sure all of their staff is knowledgeable on the program so that everybody can talk about it at every opportunity. Shortly into the program, we recognized that a lot of our parents were asking us, "So you have a dentist here now?" Which, of course, we didn't, unfortunately. But it was great to know that our families were eager to seek out dental care for their children. And we really worked with our receptionists, our medical assistants, to kind of come up with a good answer to that question, guide them to our Big Smile services and then to a dentist. Internally, I think it's so important to highlight and celebrate our successes. This provides us with the opportunity to acknowledge all of the hard work our health centers have dedicated to the Big Smiles program. And by keeping our operational and medical leadership within our organization up to date, we build a circle of support for the program and the health centers involved. And my favorite method of celebrating this program has become the Golden Toothbrush Award. So this we developed, I had talked earlier about we came up with monthly goals for our health centers, and the Golden Toothbrush Award was designed to kind of encourage reaching your monthly and yearly goal. So within 6 months, if a health center reaches half of their yearly goal, they get the Golden Toothbrush Award, which is a free lunch, which is nice, but you also get this lovely certificate, which I'm sure is even much more appreciated than the food. I like to tell myself. So we've talked about communication, goals, building a patient base, and celebrating successes. But what happened? What did Access accomplish? So here's a graph the bars are the number of visits, and the line is the number of health centers that have been involved each month in the program. And I'm happy to say that actually I don't have September data on there, but in September we reached 5,000 Big Smiles visits. So very excited about that. So even through our successes, of course, we've had some challenges and that we've worked through those. And these have included scheduling the training, which involves kind of coordinating the schedule of the health center, the providers, the trainer, which can be complicated. Integrating any new service into current operations can always provide some bumps in the road, but we've worked through those. Dealing with staffing changes and kind of internally having access to our data in a timely manner. And the success of Big Smiles would not have been possible without internal support, which is something else that, you know, we talked about needs cultivated. But I'm very grateful to our senior regional leadership, our health center managers, our providers, and planning and development. So what have we learned? The additional clinical mentoring time was just so crucial for our providers in just having them develop a comfort level with the program and really getting involved. And thankfully, not only do our health center, the people at our health centers like to provide the Big Smile services, but our patients like to get the Big Smile services, so that's always good. And a theme throughout this presentation and really this project has just been building communication and keeping everybody on the same page. Excuse me. So that has definitely also been a lesson learned. So thank you.